Right, let's get right down to it. The ozone hole is big, it's bad, and it's all our fault. These are satellite images of the hole over the last 10, 15 years, ending in 1992. The hole is a little blue thing in the middle, and it's been getting worse, and it'll continue to get worse before it gets better. We know a fair bit about the ozone hole by now. We've been studying it for a long time. We know it's caused by chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs as they're called, and they're derived from broken down refrigerators, air conditioners, and also from aerosol cans. The reason ozone is so important is because it absorbs ultraviolet B radiation, which is very harmful. And in the lack of ozone, obviously more ultraviolet gets through to the Earth's surface. And in the ozone hole's case, to surface, well, to Antarctica and the ocean surrounding it. To make a bad situation worse, we found out that UVB can penetrate to about 20 metres below the sea level, which is quite a way, considering the water in the Southern Ocean is very clear. And obviously animals in this 20 metre range are going to be impacted by UVB, or at least have some sort of dose from it. So why is UVB so bad, and why should we be worried about it? Well, the first kind you probably all heard of from the evening news and the likes of that is UVB. It gives you DNA damage, which eventually leads to skin cancer. It also, in the short term, disrupts cell membranes and cell walls. It also disrupts biochemical functions within the cells and within the body. But there's another kind of UV that's a little bit more benign. It's called UVA. It's the kind of radiation that tans you if you're into that kind of thing. You can see, obviously, I'm not. UVA's main claim to fame is that it induces the production of sunscreens in phytoplankton, algal phytoplankton, that the krill feed upon, and I'll go into them a little bit later. UVA also inhibits photosynthesis, which is the means by which the plant cells make their own food out of sunlight and carbon dioxide. Last kind of radiation I'm going to be looking at is visible radiation. Very simply, it's what we see with our own eyes, and it's very important in photosynthesis. So where do the krill fit into all this? And, well, for a start, what are they? Krill are small, 50 to 60 millimetre pelagic crustaceans. They live in the top layers of the Southern Ocean. And they're enormously abundant and important to the ecology of the region, and they're also important economically. They form a major food source for animals like fish, penguins, seals, flighted seabirds, and everyone's favourite, of course, the whales. They're also the target of the region's only major fishery. Sorry, the region's biggest fishery. I should qualify that slightly. Krill are also commonly found near the surface in huge swarms that can turn the oceans red on occasion. These swarms are near the surface. The birds go crazy. They love them. And they can be hundreds of metres in any direction you care to look at. They're very impressive. Unfortunately, this habit of surface warming, as it's called, puts krill right in the range of UVB. This is a bit of a concern. It's a concern that's had a lot of words written about it, a lot of talk in both the scientific press and also the popular press. My favourite's down the bottom. And but for all the talk, there's been very little actual research on krill and UVB for a number of reasons. Too many to list at the moment. So I thought, what a cool PhD, I'll give that a whirl. And so I came up with three main questions. First of all, where's the dot? Okay. How well do krill withstand high UVB? How much can they take? Are they likely to get these kind of levels in nature? Secondly, can krill up and run away? Can they avoid this harmful radiation? To avoid it, you've got to be able to see it or at least sense it. Finally, we know that krill have an awful lot of what I'm going to call natural sunscreens, which absorb in the ultraviolet and have been found in heaps of marine animals all over the world. Krill have a lot, but that's all we know about them. So the first part, how well do krill withstand high UV radiation? Doing this was the first part of the project. It was fairly simple. I just kept krill under various kinds of light for a while and watched what they did, how long they lasted. Under visible light, the krill were just fine. They were happy as Larry, running around doing krill things. Add a bit of UVA, and likewise, no problems there. The crew were active, they were healthy, they lasted for the whole experiment. Add a bit of UVB, however, and it all goes to pieces. For a start, the crew start to become sluggish, they sink to the bottom of the tank, they wave their little legs and look really pathetic. Unfortunately, a couple of days later, they die off. The surprise isn't that they die. I mean, you zap anything with UV for long enough, it'll keel over. But the surprise is how little UV it takes to knock over a krill. The levels I was using were levels that you'd find at about 5 to 15 metres in depth. Okay, so first we know krill are easily killed by UVB. And this set off a few alarm bells, I can tell you. But then you start to think, well, there's heaps of krill out there. Okay, they're declining a bit. So there must be something else at play, otherwise there'd be a lot of krill floating upside down like goldfish do, and they're obviously not. So do krill see this stuff, and do they run away from it? I tested this in two ways. First of all, I set up a horizontal tank. This is about 2.5 metres long, and set up a gradient of light above the tank, going from high end to a low end, and basically track where the krill ended up. Nice and simple. And you can see that on the gradient of visible light, krill went from the high to the low end of the tank. Fair enough, they can see it, they can swim away from it. Likewise, the UVA, which is the non-harmful kind of UV, krill went from the high to the low end. Put them under a gradient of UVB, and they don't have a clue. They're completely ignorant of this harmful UVB that's beating down on them, and they just swim around as if they're out for a Sunday stroll, or swim, or whatever krill do on Sundays. This isn't the whole story, though, because there's no shade in the ocean, obviously. If a krill wants to get away from this kind of stuff, it's got to swim down. So I built another tank, regular fun, got to learn how to be a plumber, and shot a lot of light, various kinds of lights through the top of the tank, simplifying it slightly, and watched where the krill went in terms of their depth. Under visible light this time, they were perfectly happy. They were very evenly distributed throughout the tank. And likewise, add a bit of UVB, no problem. Well, they couldn't see it. Might have heard them a bit, but they couldn't see it, and therefore stayed at the same kind of depths. Add a bit of UVA, and down they go. They significantly increase their depth almost immediately. And just a couple of bases, extra UVB didn't change their depth one little bit. Right, so let's put this together slightly. We know that krill swim away from non-harmful UVA, but they cannot see the harmful UVB. Why would they bother running away from something that doesn't hurt them? Fair enough, good question. But when you consider that UVA and UVB always occur together, although the ratio differs, if a krill is avoiding certain levels of UVA, then it's also avoiding UVB, indirectly. But there's a small problem with this, because nothing is ever that simple. Nothing ever is. When the ozone hole comes along, it lets through a greater proportion of UVB radiation, although the amount of UVA is not changed. So the ratio is skewed slightly. I'll just explain why this might be a bit of a hassle. There's no ozone hole. There's usually a reasonably consistent ratio of UVA to UVB. It's about 16 to 1, more or less. Underneath this is our theoretical krill school. It's just fine. When there is an ozone hole, amount of UVB increases, we'll say about twice as much. UVA is the same. So if krill are having their depths or position influenced by UVA, and they're staying in the surface waters, they're likely to be getting a bit more of a dose of UVB. I know, this is a bit of a problem. Do krill see UVB and run away? Well, yes, kind of. There's another problem, because the ozone hole might disrupt this response. Which brings me to the perhaps the most interesting part for me anyway, is natural sunscreens. Krill have lots, but that's really about as far as the knowledge goes. So what about these things? What are they? Well, their actual function as a chemical is not known. We know they absorb UV very well, but other things can do that. So we don't precisely know what these things do, apart from the fact that they absorb UV very well. We know animals can't make their own sunscreens. They don't have the chemical pathways necessary. This is especially true of krill. The only time animals do tend to make their own sunscreens is when they have a plant cell living inside them as some sort of symbiont. And as I said before, we know there's lots, not only lots in Antarctic krill, but lots of different kinds. So we have some questions here to ask. Where do krill get these things? And once they do get them, do they actually help? Now, I did an awful lot of feeding experiments. I cut up lots of krill, measured them, the sunscreens in bits and pieces, did a whole bunch of little experiments, and what it all boils down to is what I think happens. The sun comes up, and sometimes in Antarctica, the sun comes up and stays up for a very long time, shines down on your passing algal bloom. The algal bloom produces a great deal of these natural sunscreens. The algae are then eaten by the krill. The krill retain these sunscreens in their bodies, in various parts of their bodies, especially the eyes, as it happens. And these sunscreens may protect the krill from UV. I say may because this last part here, I'm still working on it right now. Well, not right now, but around this time anyway. And I've done a couple of little pilot studies, and early indications are that sunscreens do indeed protect krill from UV, but it's not a complete protection. It's only a partial one. Righty-ho, so let's go through the story step by step. First of all, we know krill are easily killed off by UVB. And some work by a good friend of mine also found that krill DNA is the most vulnerable to UVB damage that's ever been measured, which is quite an interesting finding for him. We know krill avoid UVB by avoiding UVA, which happens at the same time. But it's possible that the ozone hole will disrupt this response. But not to worry, because krill can acquire natural sunscreens from the algae they eat, and if my early work is anything to go by, the sunscreens will protect the krill from UVB. So if I were to sum this bit of research up in only a few words, it would be krill eat algae and go deeper. Or, if you like, it's a combination of diet and exercise. And that's good advice no matter what species you happen to be. So let's take a little bit of a step back a bit, and you don't get much of a step back more than this. We know that krill are, well, I think anyway, the krill are very well adapted to life under high UVB, and that's pretty good news. They're more adapted, well, they're much better adapted to UV than we are, for example. Therefore, you can suggest, and I do, that the ecosystem that depends on krill, the fish, the seals, the birds, the penguins, the whales, they're also likely to be safe from the immediate effects of ozone depletion. And that's good news too. You want more good news? Okay. The ozone hole will eventually fix itself up if everyone does the right thing. And it's looking pretty good so far. So come 50, 60 years, the ozone hole will be well on the way to fixing itself. And as for the bad news, well, in this case, there isn't any. Thank you very much for your attention. Enjoy the rest of National Science Week.